I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome back, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everyone. And I say welcome back because I assume that at this point in the journey, you've been with us for a little while because the journey is nearly done. But if it is your first time here, somehow you've stumbled across. And I say that because it's not unheard of, as it turns out. We have a lot of new fans. So if it is, in fact, your first time joining us, let me tell you a little bit about what we do. We are the podcast that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, the mighty Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am Mark Kamaya, your co-host. With me, as always, is Corey Morissette. Corey, the doomsday clock is ticking and it is nearly counted down. How do you feel?
You know, it kind of became more real today because I was actually working on our schedule for the next few months because I'm taking off at the end of July to go to Toronto to see Sammy Hagar and the boys. And so I was kind of, you know, slotting him in. Okay, like tonight we're doing T-6 on the wheel, and then next week is 5. Then we got to slot in live shows. And just, you know, doing the scheduling thing, make sure Mark doesn't have a gig, make sure Kevin Brown is available to do our big wrap-up finale episode at the end of July. And just seeing on the calendar, you know, the end is near. Like, I have Last Song on the Wheel is coming up in July. And then we do the wrap-up show. And it's like, yeah, now it's getting real now. And then first week of August, man, we're knocking into some solo stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. It's it may be the end of one journey, but it's the start of a whole new thing. And the aforementioned Kevin Brown, as you say, is going to do a spoiler alert. He's going to do a wrap up show with us, and not to be outdone, he's just decided he's just going to impose himself into this show as we count down the last 6 songs. Kevin Brown, welcome back to the show, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. I saw a Zoom link in my email. I was like, well, I'm fucking clicking that.
That sounds about right.
The dangers of the Patreon. If you sign up, you might get just a random Zoom link and you can just hop on in. But I'm actually glad you're here, Kevin, because I was driving for work today and I popped on the Tom Petty Project, and it was a great episode 0 as you're kind of queuing up the next season. I think it's going to be probably your best season of podcasting ever. Maybe just real quick, tell the folks what you got coming up right away here.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, so I'm covering Tom Petty's second solo album, 10th album overall, Wildflowers, which I consider one of the most perfect albums ever recorded. You know, I will hear no arguments about, well, lots of arguments about that. So I'm doing, you know, the 15 episodes, and I'm doing those in sequence. Usually I take a week off here and there to do guest episodes, that kind of thing. So it's 15 songs, 15 episodes straight. And then I've also got guests on to talk about each song. So, you know, I've brought back certain guests. Mr. Morissette's going to come on and talk about a track from the album, and just to get some sort of insights from people, so it's not just me rambling on about these songs, because I know it's an important album for lots of people. So big season coming up for me. This is the one that I was waiting for the whole time while I've been doing this podcast for just about 2.5 years, so it's here, and I'm really looking forward to it.
You'll hear no argument out of me about saying anything negative about Wildflowers. So yeah. Very exciting stuff, dude. That's gonna be great. I can't wait to tune in for that. So
I can't believe I got the song. I got, like, I was like the 12th person Kevin asked out of I think 15 tracks. I was 12th, so all the big ones were taken, but he said, okay, you have your choice of like these three, and one of those three I'm like, oh yeah, give me that one. Really excited. I don't know if we can announce it, but I'm really excited to talk about that track.
Yeah, I suppose we could, if you could tell people what you're which one you're doing.
Exclusive. Do you
oh, it's Stank personified. It's Cabin Down Below.
It's a great bit of guitar work.
Love it. It's my favorite Tom Petty. Like, it's, and I'll get into the show, but all my favorite Tom Petty stuff is kind of that, just kind of rocking, stanky, motherfucking middle finger to the world. That you know, Tom Petty just exemplified being a rebel, and you get a little bit of that in Cabin Down Below. So I was super psyched that song was still available.
Oh yeah, there you go. An exclusive for the fans, the crossover fans, if you will. Your scoop is in. So tune into that, the Tom Petty Project. Absolutely. But before we head on over to Tom Petty, we got to stick with what we know. And what we know on this show, well, we're not experts, mind you, but we know a little bit about Van Halen. What is going on in the world of Van Halen news today, Corey?
Holy cow, we haven't done one of these shows in a hot minute, Mark, so there's a ton.
No, we haven't.
First, a lot of Van Halen news from my own household. First of all, there it
Look
is.
Look at that.
There it is.
Yeah, baby.
Showed up the other day, the collection volume one redone with the laminates, which I have just back there. They're phenomenal. I got the David Lee Roth Beefcake poster too, but I really don't have a lot of use for that, so I don't know. I might send mine to Kelsey, so she has a backup in case she wrecks the other one from kissing it so much. But it came. I'm very happy. So I had that for Van Halen news, and then I also got some great news 2 weeks ago. Extreme, out of nowhere, announced a Canadian leg of their ongoing six world tour. And they never play Canada ever, and they never fucking play the prairies. They announced like six Canadian dates, and for some reason, two are in Saskatchewan. One is in Kevin's neck of the woods in Saskatoon, and they're doing one show with Living Colour opening for him at the Casino Regina in Regina, Saskatchewan. So not only did I get a table for me and my wife and some friends, thanks to the Patreons, I got the VIP experience too, which means during soundcheck, Gary Cherone is going to be looking down and going, "What the fuck is on your shirt?" And it's going to be apologies to Gary because I'm wearing it at the show. And the best part is that at the end of the sound check, we all get a group photo in front of the stage with Extreme. And I'm going to be wearing this shirt, and everybody else is going to get to experience apologies to Gary. So expect that report coming your way middle of September.
Part of me really wants you to ask him when you meet him, but also don't, like, part of me doesn't want you to ask him because I want to see if he does it organically. Is if, when you take that group picture, if he makes the same face he's making on the shirt.
Yes.
Because look, yeah, as you say, it's finally going to happen. Like, if maybe he's aware of these shirts before, or maybe he's not. Let's pretend for a second he isn't. But Corey himself is going to the show. He's going to be wearing the shirt. Gary's going to see it. So now there's nothing left but for... He can't escape it now. Now it's coming right at him, and he will be forced. He will see himself on your torso, and he will be forced to ask, "Why are you apologetic?" Well, he'll have to ask, and then he'll know.
He might know before then, because a new patron of ours and a good friend, John Drake, who's going to be on the show in the next couple of weeks, actually has the contact info for Gary Cherone's publicist and forwarded to me.
Oh, that is true.
And he's like, you should reach out and try and get him on the show. He's pretty amenable to coming on podcasts. I'm like, oh man, I don't know.
There's another exclusive. It could happen. It might not. Who knows? But I don't know. We'll hope for the best, because it would just really make me smile to get Gary on the show so we can tell him directly, hey, man,
we love
apologies
you.
To you.
We love you, man.
We love you.
And we are super so talented. Sorry. We are so
but boy,
sorry.
Did we shit all over this album. All right, cool. So what's going on, Van Halen news outside of your household?
Man, there's a ton. Let's go through it real quick here. Of course, you can get all your Van Halen news at www.vhnd.com, including such articles as Van Halen was the Nirvana for the late 70s. You're going to want to read that article to find out where that's coming from. There's a nice little thing on Wolfgang and how he honors his dad each night on stage. Wolfie is touring all throughout 2024, except Canada, of course. But you'll have lots of opportunities if you live in the States to check out Wolfie and Mammoth just knocking it out of the park every single night. Michael Starr from Steel Panther, he's got some stories about Van Halen and David Lee Roth. He's an entertaining fellow, so you're going to want to check out that article for sure. Some good stuff there.
Do yourself a favor. If you've never seen Steel Panther, go see them.
That's right. And Mike Post came out with an interview that kind of took some people by surprise because he talked about Van Halen 3 and how it wasn't an Eddie solo record so much as it was just an album Eddie's way. But one of the revelations in that article was he revealed that, you know, Alex was going through such a hard time in the middle of a really nasty divorce that Eddie actually played drums on Van Halen 3. So that was an interesting little tidbit that that hadn't been leaked before. And Mike Post even kind of came out and said, you know, I know the album didn't sound good, but this was kind of what Eddie wanted. And as a friend, he was just kind of there. Mike Post, by the way, an incredibly talented fellow who wrote some of the greatest TV themes in television history. But he said, you know, he was sober, and Eddie really wanted to do an album sober. So he was there more to help his friend than anything. So he knew the album wasn't great, but it was what Eddie wanted. But that was a big revelation. And Mike Post even talked about having to go to Alex's house and say, guess what? Maybe you don't play on this one until you kind of get your shit together. And he framed it in a way. Mike Post is very political. He framed it in a way that Alex was cool with it. He took 6 months off. And by the time the tour rolled around, Alex is ready to be, you know, one of the greatest rock and roll drummers of all time again. So that was a really interesting article.
Yeah, that is. That's an interesting revelation, as you say. That's wouldn't have guessed, but I guess in hindsight, probably makes a little sense for some of those. But
you know,
it is what it is.
I want to throw a little plug out there for our good friend Scott Monroe and Chaz. They're going to be doing a regarding Van Halen 3 this summer. I'm really looking forward to that because thinking back on it, it's like, was I too hard on Van Halen 3? Maybe I was. There are some songs. There was a lot of songs where I was on the fence. And I think Mark and his negativity kind of tipped me one way. Would I have, you know, upvoted more songs if I had a more optimistic podcast partner? I don't know. So I'm looking forward to Van Halen 3 and the regarding Van Halen 3 show that Scott and Chaz are going to do. And I think we're going to be on it, Mark. Are you looking forward to that? Do you get to revisit Van Halen 3?
I'm, and this is no offense to the lovely gentleman that put on this show because, you know, I think you're all great. We love and adore you. We appreciate you. I'm indifferent on that aspect of revisiting Van Halen 3. How about that? But you're right though. You bring up a good point. Would you feel, differently if, you were talking about that album with a more optimistic, crowd or I guess a panel and, very much regarding Van Halen 3 is going to have a much higher positive vibe on that album than Corey and myself have been during this venture of the show. So I guess if you want to blame somebody for Corey's negativity on Van Halen 3, I guess it's me.
Well, and one thing they're going to be doing, I believe, is Kevin Brown is helping out with some remixes on some of those tracks. A lot of the negative came from this is mixed really bad.
That's a good point.
If we get some remixes, that might help.
Most of the songs are about 2.5 minutes too long.
Yeah.
And when you actually trim them and get them a little bit tighter, man, Scott's turned me, man. There's some really, really good stuff from Van Halen 3. Like when you think about it in the context of how he sequenced it and the songs he's left off and what he's, I think he's going to turn a few people, honestly.
Stay tuned for that.
That's right. All right. Back to the news desk. They were nuts. That's a quote from Ann and Nancy Wilson. On touring at the Van Halen Brothers, they opened for the 1979 tour back in the day, and they're on the Howard Stern Show. Of course, Hart is now back together again, doing their Royal Flush tour with Cheap Trick and others. Not coming to Saskatchewan, unfortunately, but Ann and Nancy Wilson back together telling stories on Howard Stern about Van Halen. You'll definitely want to check that out. We have a new David Lee Roth song, Mark.
No.
I know you're excited about this. Scotch and Sofa. What do you say? Do you want to play a little bit of it?
I really don't.
Well, here we go.
Everybody else. Yeah.
Man, it takes me right back to Van Halen 1 with the horns and the upright bass.
I see you checking me out. You approve of my intention. Yo, word does get around by my new invention. Big city wide open town.
Yeah.
Wish for drinking. Boys will be bored tonight. Honey, tell me just what you're thinking.
Ooh, yeah. Scotch and sofa. Oh, yeah.
What's the point of this, exactly? What? What's... Why? What?
I love that.
God.
All right, that's enough of that. We're going to put that on the wheel next season, Mark. You looking forward to it?
Oh, no, I'm really not now. Like, now I'm second-guessing everything. Everything we've got planned. It's just... I'm just... Look, I guess that's not the worst thing I've heard him do. So, yay. Awesome. Fine.
Well, I tell you what, something you should listen to, Markimeyer, is Nina DeGregorio's take on Eruption on her violin. This thing is fucking amazing.
I have, in fact, heard
Holy cow.
And yes, it is.
Yep. I won't play it here tonight, but go to the VHND.com and check out Nina's take on Eruption. It's spectacular. Michael Anthony still open to performing with David Lee Roth. Of course he is. He's Michael Anthony. He'll play with anybody. And you'll see even more surprising appearances later on the news desk here. But yeah, he says, Dave's Dave, and he hasn't talked to him in a few years. But he'll play with anybody. You know, maybe he'll go play with Roses of Sharon, Mark, if you ask him. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. I don't know how Michael Anthony feels about Killswitch Engage, but if he's keen, then sorry, Warner, we're kicking you out for Michael Anthony.
I think he'd understand. Well, I hope he would anyway. But...
He would.
All right. I mentioned this on one of our live shows. I think it was the For Unlawful live show, but Behind the Music is going to be spotlighting Wolfgang Van Halen on an episode. That's coming back to Paramount Plus next month.
Wow, bringing it back. Nice.
Yeah. Paramount Plus had a season last year. I can't remember the bands they had on there. I don't have Paramount Plus, but I'm going to have to sign up for the free week just to watch the Wolfgang Van Halen episode.
That's all you need, really.
Exactly.
Just a free trial.
Yep. This is kind of cool. Everyone knows about the canceled 2015 Eat 'Em and Smile concert that featured the original band, and then Dave Lee Roth kind of inserted himself. And they packed so many people into the Lucky Strike in Hollywood that the fire marshal shut the show down right before they're about to launch into Yankee Rose. So that show never happened. And I think it was Steve Vai talking about David Lee Roth's reaction when the fire marshal said, "You can't go on." He said, "Perfect. Now we're going to get even more press." And he's not wrong. They got even more press from that. So I really wish that they would kind of reform that band with David and go on the road, though. Fuck, I'd go see that show.
I mean, I think a lot of people would. I don't know that you would be treated to a very good sounding set, but I mean, maybe the music would be all right. I think.
Doesn't it just show the mentality of the guy, though, that he was more excited about getting the press than actually performing with his old bandmates? Like,
oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
If that's your priority, I don't know, man.
That's always been his priority, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And finally, Michael Anthony hit the stage not that long ago. With members of Green Day, they have a covers band, kind of like what Taylor Hawkins did way back in the called the Cover Ups. Green Day's side project is called, and they brought Michael Anthony on stage and they performed "Dance the Night Away," "Ain't Talk About Love," "Rock and Roll All Night," and there's some videos here. There's them playing "Ain't Talk About Love." There's "Rock and Roll All Night." So yeah, you can catch all those on the Van Halen news desk. All the news that's fit to print.
So it's basically just 2/3 of Green Day plus Michael Anthony.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
That's the cover ups. But Michael Anthony, like I said, he'll jump on stage with anybody. He was on a cruise with ZZ Top and he jumped up there and did Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers.
It was so good.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And now he's on stage with Green Day, you know, doing "Ain't Talking About Love." Fantastic stuff.
You watch that video though, hey Corey, because he jumps up with ZZ Top, but he doesn't have his guitar,
yeah.
And he looks so lost, like he doesn't know what to do with his hands.
I know, he's like it's completely foreign to him. It was great.
I'm not a lead singer. I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the news. All right. So it's been a while since we've done a regular show, so I don't even remember where our last poll was.
I think it was a Take Me Back Deja Vu, way back show 128.
I think you are correct. Yep, that is the one. So Take Me Back Deja Vu. We already knew right at the top how people were not keen on this particular track, or at least they told us that they were not feeling it. So based on the poll results, we got a 71.2% What Dreams Are Made Of over a 28.8% Dream Is Over. So while it wasn't a huge, I mean, that's one of the lower scores that for voting up anyway, that we've seen. It's not the lowest that but by far, but are you surprised by the way this voting poll happened?
I'm actually surprised it's that high. I thought we might be in the 60s for Take Me Back. I know you were a downvote on it, and I was borderline pretty much the whole way, and yeah. I eventually gave it an upvote, but I kind of thought that'd be more in like the 60 to 65 range. So 71, I thought, was pretty good for Take Me Back. How about you, Kev?
Yeah. I really like that song. I mean, it's off Balance. I've got a soft spot for Balance. Like, that was I picked up Balance when I was in the military, and I was stationed over in the US for a while, and I had a long drive from Tacoma down to Yakima. And I listened to that CD. I bought that CD like the day before or something. I listened to that CD on repeat for, I don't know, like 5-6 hours. So Take Me Back, it's got I really like that song. It's got a good bridge in it. It's just cool. I think it's a cool song.
I tell you what, it deserves a better placement on our audience rankings than it got. It's currently ranked 91st. Out of all the songs we covered, 129 songs, it's below Pleasure Dome, which is, you know,
insane.
And it's above In-N-Out, which I don't know. I prefer In-N-Out. I also prefer Without You from Van Halen 3. And I prefer Tattoo. I know that Can't Stop Loving You, I prefer. Eagles Fly, I thought was better. Feels So Good. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's weird. I don't understand how you guys vote. I don't understand it. Please make me understand it. So let's go over here and see what they're saying. And I'm going to read off those tweets under the poll that are made by our patrons, because if you want to get your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon, you guys. It's the best time. All the great conversations are happening on the Discord. You get a link there. That's the big perk. So go on over and do that. And let's see. From Sean Geek and the Fast Rep Podcast, our good buddies Sean and Todd say, hate to do this, but a phoned-in Sammy does not enhance a track. I like what Ed did on here a lot, but you can tell there's a sense of, let's just finish this fucking song and move on. The disharmony in the band worked against this one, and it shows a true sense of apathy. So, right there, Sean and Todd thinking, like, this is just a phoned-in performance. I think phoned-in was something we talked about before. But do you feel like Sammy phoned this one in?
I don't know. I didn't get that impression. But, Kevin?
Not for me, no. I mean, it's not at his top end, right? I mean, he's not sitting in his highest register, but I think he's a great job. I mean, like I said, that bridge in the middle of this song is, and the way it leads back into the chorus again. Nah, man, I it's just an upbeat. And it's that thing of, like, Van Halen wasn't doing Mean Streets anymore. They weren't doing Hyper Boogie anymore. They'd moved on from that. Ed was writing different stuff. And if you think about this as even like a bridge into some of the stuff they do end up doing on Van Halen 3 musically, it makes sense that that's where he was going. So, yeah, I don't know. I got nothing negative to say about that song. So.
Well, there you have it. Rava Flav says, well, they can't all be Panama, but it would be pretty cool if they were. So I'm assuming he voted that one down. So there you go. And of course, Brewer and Monroe said they have it on Discord. So I think that might be the tweets. And a special shout out from our friend Wabo and Cabo says, the only song I've voted down were from Van Halen 3. Otherwise, I love it all. So he likes this one. So, like, all right, that's fair, but it's probably like a soft What Dreams Are Made Of. I get it. Going over to the Discord where all the little manifestos are happening. Again, if you want a link to the Discord, join the Patreon, you guys. And going on over to our buddy Josh, who says, Take Me Back should include a QR code for a free download accompanying the purchase of a dad starter pack. and then he, along with it, he actually gave us a visual demonstration. I'm assuming that means, Josh, you're not into it because it's too much of a dad rock anthem, which is hilarious. Scott Monroe, our friend Scott Monroe, says, it's barely what Dreams Are Made Of for me. I enjoy the chorus well enough, and Eddie Van Halen's playing is light and breezy in the verses before ratcheting up to some quality chugga-chugga. I don't include this one on any of my playlists, but it's also not a skip if I'm listening to balance. It's perfectly adequate. It's a perfectly adequate album track. So again, there it is. The soft hand rate, the soft. Yeah. What Dreams Are Made Of, but just a little bit. And I don't blame you. It was not what Dreams Are Made Of for me, but I understand. Chad says, I'm such a Sammy Homer, that it kind of hurts to downvote this one. However, this is one of the most forgettable tracks in the catalog. So another downvote. So a lot of downvotes happening. So it's a wonder this thing got to 72%. Greg Zito says, I haven't heard this track in forever. The guitar is great, but the song feels a bit unfinished. I wish Bruce had asked Sammy for a third draft of those lyrics. 51% what Dreams Are Made Of. So, there it is. We have a number confirmation there. I like that. Thank you. A 51% for him. Jeff Brewer says, well, it's a little less formulaic than Can't Stop Loving You, but not by a whole lot. Interesting guitar work by Eddie, of course, but that's about it. Still enough there for an upvote, just not an enthusiastic upvote. It reminds me a lot of Jimmy Buffett Parrothead style music, albeit with a little more muscular guitar. So Jimmy Buffett Parrothead style, that to me is, that says dad rock to me, and I don't think that's a negative. Actually, Jimmy Buffett Parrothead style, that doesn't sound terrible to me.
Hey, you're on a call with two dads, so dad rock is like right up our alley. Come on,
what is Parrothead style? What does that mean?
I guess I don't know. That's a good question. Like I liked the sound of it so much that I didn't even bother to really analyze its meaning.
Hey, Mark,
I'm missing a cultural reference.
Yeah.
What's up, boys?
Joining us on the call halfway through Connor the show Burton. Is a new patron, Connor Burton. How's it going, Connor?
Woo! It's going well. Sorry I'm late. I just finished training the clients.
Hey, no worries, buddy. We're still on the air. We haven't even got to the wheel spin yet. So Mark's just reading the tweets.
Oh.
You got good timing, my friend.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's one of the perks of being a three or four patron.
Not to cut you and Mark off, but last show I was on for You're No Good, the lyrics were up, and literally I thought the recording wouldn't be able to see me, but I was on my phone a little bit, so I apologize, but my girlfriend's from Colombia, and I told her the song was You're No Good, and she thought I said she's no good. So I was trying to put that fire out while I was on the show. So
oh, boy.
I had a good reason.
Okay. Totally understood. That's awesome. Well, sorry if we got you into some hot water there, buddy.
It's not your fault. It's mine.
And he's not the only one here.
Oh, right, the dismembered Brett. Voice of Davey Lee Smith, who can't get his camera working. He's just going to pop in, like a ghost and just offer comments. This would be great.
Yeah, I've been trying to get
Davey Lee Smith.
I've been trying to get this camera working. The computer is like, nope, not tonight, pal. That was my fault.
Dave, I'll throw it over to you. What's your thoughts on Take Me Back, Deja Vu?
Well, you know, I'm going to kind of take of what... I don't know if you're familiar with this certain podcast called Grown Up Rock. They did a Van Halen series where they reviewed all 12 albums throughout 2021. One of the hosts on there who goes by the name of Sonny Hollywood Pooney, shout out to him. He thought this song was kind of like a sequel to Finish What You Started a little bit. I don't know if you guys can hear that.
He thought this was like a sequel to that.
Yeah, I don't know if I get that musically or especially not lyrically. Holy cow.
Not lyrically. Yeah. I was like maybe musically just a little bit, but I thought the song was just all right. I mean, it's certainly not their worst, but I just don't think it's their best, but not, you know, it's all right for me.
It's the worst piece of shit we've ever done. And it's not leaving this room.
It's a lot better than him. That's for sure.
Even though I downvoted Take Me Back, I don't think it's their worst in the Van Halen catalog. We have already covered those.
So, are you saying Lars Ulrich is wrong?
I will say Lars was right about one thing, one big thing, and he has never let anyone else forget that he was right about that one thing. But, and everything else we can just kind of ignore.
And that one thing was,
you're just sitting here being a complete dick.
That's the one. that's the one. Brad Gould, he says, I'm giving a late comment to the prior show. He's talking about Big Bad Bill. Let's see. Well, okay. Former middle school, high school jazz band member. This song always hit home for me. Jan is gold on this. And as someone else said, the song really showcases what I love about Van Halen more than anything else. They are truly exceptional musicians. They knew what song needed. What the song needed and nailed it. I never skip this song whenever it comes on. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Let's see. More Big Bad Bill stuff. We'll have to go to that. All right. Here we go. You're not even talking about. Damn it, Jeff. I'm going to have to read like your other stuff later, like we're talking about. All right. Here we go. Nope. That's about true. All right. That's it. There it is. That's all the stuff. So, Connor Burton, how do you feel about Take Me Back, Deja Vu?
I mean, I wish I had some more deja vu about the song. I kind of, honestly, it's not my favorite track off of Balance, but I think for me, it's a Dream Is Over. I mean, it's not too memorable, but I remember that there it's kind of like a Frankenstein song to me. So for y'all who like the song, then, you know, I'm sorry.
I was the one that downvoted it. It was not my jam. When we
how dare you, sir?
I know. It happened. So, but yeah, like I said, you guys, if you want your stuff guaranteed read on the show, you know where you got to go. The Patreon. Find a tier that's right for you. Guarantee we have it. And if we don't, let us know. I'm sure we can work something out with you. And you're going to need to get access to the Patreon moving forward because Corey and I got a lot of stuff going on. So get on over to patreon.com. Podcast Will Rock. Corey, before we spin the wheel, you know what we got to do.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody, take a shot. Say it with me. Manifestations! I don't have a shot.
It's getting easier now. There's only 6 cuts on this fucking wheel now.
Yeah, I got a shot of protein powder. That's good.
There you go. That'll work.
You guys can't see it, but I got Gatorade in my hand. You guys can't see it.
You should have said something cooler than.
It's not Gatorade. It's something else. It's not Gatorade.
You should have said like Cabo Wabo tequila or something.
It's snake juice.
Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, but that would be, I would be lying about that though.
Integrity. See, integrity still matters to some.
Yeah,
it does.
I think Cabo Wabo just had its
34 Sammy or something.
Hagar just posted about, yeah, its birthday today.
Well, hell yeah, you guys bust out your tequila if you got them. So, 6 songs left, Corey.
Yes, sir.
Only six. These are dangerous ones because there's a few that we'd like to land on sooner rather than later, because later means we have to end the show either on a not so high note or a mid note. I'd rather leave on a high note, you know, but it's not up to me. It's up to the wheel. So what are we going to manifest? I'm going to head on over to the Discord. That's right. You get to manifest on Discord. That's one of the main perks. You want that Discord link. Join the Patreon. So Scott Monroe wants Aftershock, and he even typed it out in this really cool looking font. I don't know how you guys do that. I don't know how you change fonts. That's crazy.
Scott's really smart. That's how.
Yeah. Well, tell me the secrets because I want new font. Jeff Brewer says anything but Atomic Punk. I see what he's doing. Okay.
He wants Atomic Punk last. There's a
he's
real
trying to, yeah. There's a strategy that's, here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with him too. I want Atomic Punk to be last because I want Van Halen 1 to be our last live ranking show too.
Yes, right. Yeah, so, Davey Lee Smith, looks like you want Trouble with Never. Is that you sticking with it?
I'm sticking with that.
Sticking with it. All right. Wow, not a lot of manifestations. Wow, what's going on in the chat, Corey?
I haven't heard anything in terms of manifestations in the chat. Everyone, I think, is pretty cool with whatever we spin.
Oh, well then I'm going to throw it to you. What do you want to hear? What do you want to spin for tonight?
You know, it's time. We got to get Josephine off there. Although it'd be cool if Gary came on the show and we talked about Josephine and played the song with him here. Yeah, I was kind of back and forth between that and in Amsterdam, just, you know, trying to get one of the balances off, or the trouble with never to get rid of a different kind of truth. But I'm going to manifest Josephina here tonight.
What if it turns out Gary like absolutely despises that song? And then you go, we finally get him on the show, and that's the one you ask him about. He's like, oh, God damn it.
I'll talk about any song but Josephina.
Any song but that one. Like, ooh, shit. Okay. Well, there you go. And actually, just to get it out of the way, I will echo your sentiments. I know it's not the popular answer. You guys don't want me to do that, but I'm doing it. Josephina, that's two. Kevin Brown. You don't want to hear Josephina, do you? You want to spend something else?
I want to spend. I want to spend Atomic Punk because I want it to be an Agent of Chaos.
We get rid of Miriano, and then we bring you on.
There will be something so poetic for this show to finish on a dud. And I know I mean, it'd be great to finish on a dud. It would be so funny because it would be so in keeping because you've had such highs and such lows. It'd be like, it would just make me laugh so hard.
That, I mean, it would be hilarious. I mean, I too. I'm an agent of chaos at times, so part of me wants that to happen just for the chaoticness of it. But I don't know. We'll see. Connor Burton, back on the show. We, as you can see, we only have so many tracks left, so what do you want to manifest on the show tonight?
I want to manifest the Atomic Punk, not to copy Kevin Brown, even though that'd be cool. yeah, Atomic Punk.
Atomic Punk. They just want to go ahead and listen to a banger, and they don't even care how we feel about it later, Corey. They want us to go through the agony of landing on a dud.
Oh, I love our chat. First of all, Jeff Bruce says Kevin Brown officially sucks.
Why is he here?
and Scott Monroe pointing out to Mark that Josephina is about his mom, so I'm guessing he's going to be good with Josephina if we get Gary on the show.
Well, never mind. So,
all you guys suck now.
Let's just say how much I don't know about that album, and I just like don't care about it. But now I feel bad.
Jeff, I manifested Josephina. I want to save Atomic Punk. Talk to Connor and Kevin. They're the assholes.
I know, right? Yeah. Maybe I should have just gone with a little dreamer to be different.
There you go. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Don't throw Connor under the bus. Fuck. He just wants to listen to Atomic Punk. I'm being an asshole.
Stick with it. Stick with your convictions.
Yeah, you're still good, toxic. Connor. You're still good, Connor. Kevin, however, we just love Jeff. He just canceled his Patreon. Oh no.
Hey, Corey, since I got on late, have you made any British jokes about Kevin yet?
I have not. Do you have some? Go ahead.
I don't know. Maybe I should defend Kevin. Like, if you touch your hair in his head,
Oh boy!
I'm sure they'll come as the whiskeys keep flowing. Tom Armbruster in the chat. We finally got a real manifestation. He wants Aftershock.
Aha!
Here we go. Oh, and we're going to Van Halen 1, but it's not Atomic Punk. It's Little Dreamer.
Is but oh boy did that
it was close
it was
close it was right
close.
There
so, there it is.
Phew. Wow. And, I was a little worried there. I was scared that it was going to be Atomic Punk, but instead we get Little
I was
Dreamer.
Too and I knew people were going to be very upset, and I'm sure it would have been my fault but I'm glad it's not. I'm glad it will never be my fault because hey, we're talking about Little Dreamer.
I thought I was tripping. It's on the Trouble with Never right now, but it must have.
I removed.
He removed Little Dreamer. Yeah.
Damn it, Corey.
Because we're down to five.
It keeps
now,
it, you know. Yeah.
Got to save the wheel. Now we're down to the last five songs, but we're gonna listen to Van Halen 1 tonight. It's hard to be mad at that, I tell you.
That's right. That's a home run album, as Corey and I have expressed our deep love for the first. I think everybody listening to this show has a deep love for that first album. And if you don't, I'd be very curious as to know. It was like, oh, really? Well, which one does it better for you? Van Halen 1, I will never say a bad thing about. So don't count on that changing anytime soon for the remainder of what we're doing in this iteration. But before we get into it, Does anyone have any special thoughts? Oh, actually, I'll throw it to you, Connor. You're the one. You wanted to manifest this one. So without showing your hand, what is it about Little Dreamer that you want to talk about?
I kind of like the and the part about the song where it shows that Dave's very much a kind of a jazzy singer. It's a good slow tempo. It kind of shows that Van Halen 1 is organized pretty well as an album, because you have a freaking up tempo song right before it, which I'm actually forgetting at the moment. I think it was Feel Your Love Tonight.
That's the one that precedes it.
Okay. And then we have kind of a slow tempo song, a very different vibe from the rest of the album. I mean, the album, you can play at a freaking party, the whole Van Halen 1 album. But that song, that's the one song that definitely sticks out, has a different kind of tone to it.
Right on. So that's something to look forward to. And we all have a basic idea of what Van Halen 1 sounds like, even if you don't know it front to back, memorized. You know what the sound of Van Halen 1 sounds like. So this would be a little, not necessarily a wrench in the cogs, but something just a little bit, a little different, a little take the edge off a little bit. So if everybody's ready to do it, what do you say we spin this thing?
All right, let's head all the way back to the debut record. This is a song number, 9, if you're looking on your streaming services, the 9 out of 11 songs on Van Halen.
Number nine.
This is a little track called Little Dreamer.
About you cold when you were headed for the skies, but you were young and bold, and baby, didn't that change with a wink of your eye? Now no one's talking about those crazy days gone by.
You know, it kind of puts me in mind of, and I don't think I'd ever noticed this before until just now, it's sort of like the precursor to Push Comes to Shove.
Yeah.
In a way, it's really similar tempo, bottom end, what Mikey's doing, really cool, and it kind of has a similar kind of feel to it.
Good call. Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah.
Well, it's a darker tune, so that's what it's got in common with Push Comes to Shove. But except Push Comes to Shove, I think has more like that R&B feel. I'm not really getting that off of Little Dreamer. Not much though.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's Van Halen 1. It's still got that Van Halen Brown sound that a lot of us adore. It's the tone that Eddie is distinctive for. And what I get from lyrically from this so far is, I covered this album on the Ridiculous Rock Record Reviews podcast back at the end of 2022. And man, that was I was ready to do that album. But anyway, when we got to this song, this is more like, I think some of the lyrics when we get to later, when they've already do, well, you know, it's just talking about how the band, how far they were when they started out, and then when they, when they started out, and then when they got to the first album, they were starting to really take off at that point. So we'll get more into that later on, though.
I always thought it was about a girl in high school he's talking about. Well, that's some good history.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What I picked up on, like, the intro was cool when, and then Dave's like, shut up. And then the guitar tones where Eddie's like, damn, damn. That's really cool.
I know in the demo version or the 77 demo, it was a lot faster. And I really,
oh really?
Yeah. I'm really glad that they kind of found their groove and went more to a bluesy, yeah.
Yes.
A tempo on this. Cause I think it fits the song a lot better.
Yeah, tempo's important, man. Like, you know, you play some songs even 5, 10 BPM faster, and it's just like, oh, it's kind of lost its heart a little bit there. Yeah. I think this song needs to be at this speed for me.
Scott Monroe in the chat says, I made a claymation video in high school with Little Dreamer as the soundtrack. It made no sense, but it looked and sounded cool. So it's just like a Zack Snyder movie. Makes no sense, but it looks and sounds cool.
Does Scott still have it? I mean, maybe if he's still got it, that's got to go on the Discord.
Yeah, you got to put that on the Discord, buddy. We got to see that.
Yeah, if you have it, Scott, show it.
And if not, recreate it.
Yeah, claymation, that's easy to recreate. Go ahead.
But I love that the statement he made prior to that, that Mark is our Lord and Savior. I appreciate that.
That's right.
I don't know why he would say that, but it's great. I love that he says, I love that he thinks that. I'm flattered.
Is it a Patreon or a fucking cult?
Dear God, I don't know which one now.
We just got rid of one cult. Let's not add another. Let's get back to the music, shall we?
No one talks about the times you cry. Likely to succeed. I had to tell them, baby, you were armed with all you need. Seems no one's talking about those crazy days gone past. Weren't they amazed when you were bitterly?
All right, Mark, I want to get your take on the vocals, because I think Dave sounds pretty cool on this one.
Well, this is like early era Dave. Yeah, this is like, I don't want to say peak Dave, but this is definitely, I think, some of the times where he is sounding vocally his best. It's that, I think, is one of the things that contributes to why Van Halen 1 is to this day still so damn good. Why that album was such a smash debut, because it defined what their sound was at that time. And, you know, in no small part, thanks to the charisma and, of course, the voice of David Lee Roth. And yeah, this one, he's not doing Dave's shtick. He's just singing it the way it needs to be sung as far as how the musical is being presented. So full marks to Dave. You know, I don't always clown on everything he's doing. When he's nailing it, he's nailing it. And on this one, he's nailing it so far.
Kevin Brown, you fancy yourself a singer for some reason. What do you think of the vocals?
It's okay. I mean, you know, I kind of prefer Dave these days up in his sort of higher registers and the squeaks and squeals, which is funny because that's what I didn't love that when I, you know, started getting into your podcast. But yeah, it's good. I don't think it's a standout on the album. I think there's a lot better stuff on this album, but it, like Mark said, it works for the song, right? Doesn't really have to do it. There's no pyrotechnics necessary because it's just a groove.
Yeah, it's a very groovy track. I like how before he goes to the lyric or the line "built at last," a little bit before that, you can hear Mikey building up the bass, dun, 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 dun. And then before he does the "built at last" part, Eddie's like on the guitar.
And to your point, Kevin, about the vocals, this is not the Diamond David Lee Roth for what we get later on down the discography. He's still kind of figuring himself out.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not that Diamond David Lee Roth, like we said. He's not going to be the one from a few years down the line, like say in Women and Children First or hey, Eva Van Halen too. But, you know, when his personality just really comes into play as Women and Children First and onward.
Well, I think it's that thing of, you know, we're going to the studio for the first album. It's still the David Lee Roth who no one's really sure about as a vocalist. Is this guy actually going to be able to cut it? You know, so I mean, going and getting him into the studio and getting the takes that they did out of his vocal, then he shows that he's got enough chops to get by, right? But yeah, I totally agree. You can hear his change in his voice, and it's still sometimes on this first couple of records when he's doing this lower stuff, he still sounds that almost like he's congested. You know what I mean? He's got like that stuffiness almost to his voice because he's not pushing. You know, Mark, you know, technically, he's not got that technique, so he doesn't really know how to balance his breathing out and get his voice quite right. But there's nothing wrong with it; it fits the song, so who cares about the technical stuff, really? I suppose.
Yeah, it works.
Kevin Brown, we never cut off an Eddie Van Halen guitar solo.
Just when you're ready.
I love
coach.
How Corey shook his head.
Yeah, he does that to me all the fucking time when we're podcasting.
Because like the best part of the song, he kind of be like, "I have something to say." Like, I don't give a fuck.
All I was going to comment on, Corey, is that your favorite part of the drum kit was showcased front and center in that little solo.
I was
going to
say, how much do I love Ride Bell, Kevin?
Yeah. Corey loves him some Ride Bell.
He loves that Ride Bell.
That's right.
That's something, you know, talk about Al on this. I mean, Mikey's doing some great work on this song. It's pretty low key from Ed, really, you know, apart from the solo we get here. But a very straight backbeat too from Al. Like, there's really not much. He's not throwing any of those little syncopated bars here and there that he usually would put in. So again, everything's stripped back on this, and I think that makes it somewhat unique, and it makes it stand out just because it is a bit more simple, right? They've kept everything a little bit more reserved, and it makes that solo stand out a bit more, you know?
It's a ZZ Top song, and like the brothers love ZZ Top, right? But this is what you get on a ZZ Top song, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, Frank Beard he's not doing anything too spectacular, although I heard a track on Rhythmine the other day called She's Just Killing Me, where Frank is like, it's like, Frank, like, fuck, you can actually play. Like, you're not just holding down time, buddy. Like, he was going to town. Love that song. We got to do Rhythmine, fucking Kevin, on a podcast at some point. But, and, you know, Eddie's Eddie is probably his most understated solo on the album. But it doesn't mean it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. I still dug the hell out of it. How about you, Connor?
I think it's one of those songs in the album, aside from Jamie's Crying. I mean, those are the two songs where the guitar literally cries. It kind of wails a little bit. But I mean, it's a pretty solid guitar solo. Really good. It kind of like what Mark says, it works for the song, but it's not like Eddie doing a dick measuring contest like he would on a song like Out of Love Again.
Can you imagine if Yngwie Malmsteen was putting down a solo on this music?
Yes, I could imagine that.
It just wouldn't work, would it?
He'd overplay the shit out of it.
Look how many notes I know.
Every note imaginable.
Oh, guys, the background vocals sound amazing. They sound beautiful. Yeah. Is that just Mikey and Dave, or Mikey, Dave, and Eddie, you think?
I thought it was just Mikey and Ed, but I'm not sure.
Mikey and Ed, I think.
I would say so, yeah.
Templeman? No.
Mark, I know you're not a big fan of guitar solos. What did you think of that one?
That I'm not a fan of the guitar solos? No, I'm not a fan.
Not at all. No.
This sounded like Eddie he was playing at the edge of a cliff, and the reverb in the guitar and in the amp, it just reverberates as it's supposed to, but it feels like he's on top of a mountain and he's playing the solo. Maybe it's just because of the way the song is structured and it just invoked that, or just the absolute powerful nature of what he's doing is not incredibly, like, he's not doing a bunch of scales on top of one another, but man, but what he is doing is just doing what he does best, and he really did it in Van Halen 1 a lot, which was hey, by the way, I'm Eddie Van Halen, remember the name, and I'm gonna make sure you remember the name, not just because we named our band after us, but also just like, I'm gonna make you remember this. And he proceeds to give us some of the best guitar solos, if not the best guitar solos, that we've heard in rock music. So this is this right here is no exception to the rule. This is like Eddie at his best, giving you probably something he just came up with on the spot, because that's how talented he is. Yeah, I really dig the solo.
I don't remember what the solo was like on the demo. I know I've heard it, but I can't tell you if it was different or not. But let's go to the chat real quick. First of all, Scott Monroe claims that claymation movie or stop motion, it's on VHS in a box somewhere. So Jeff says, well, find it, Scott, and convert it to digital and drop it on the Discord. So hopefully that'll be coming for all us folks. Tom Rumbrester loves how locked in Mike and Al are. Absolutely. Josh says the key and tempo seems to be in Dave's vocal sweet spot. I think that's kind of the key, to the point where Jeff says here in a comment, Dave sounded good here. I wonder how the clown would have butchered it if they played it for Tokyo Dome. And yeah, Tokyo Dome, he was like, he was in a higher register for some reason, and he butchered like almost every song he did. But yeah, like, how do you fuck up this tempo and this cadence? Like, I don't get it. Like this should have been right, like you said, in his vocal sweet spot. I don't think he could have fucked it up on Tokyo Dome, could he?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the chance of fucking up. It doesn't matter who you are.
Oh, listen to how he does Panama on that record. Oh, it's painful. Fucking painful. Mm.
Crime Dave is the best Dave.
I've heard it before. I don't know.
That sure is not the Dave from 78.
That's true.
No.
Jeff Brewer says, he says, I think there's some minor thirds in there. Mark, would you agree with that?
Minor thirds? Yeah, there's probably some in there.
Yeah, we're talking about it because it sounds like it's, I was wondering whether he was just playing fifths and the chord charts, but I wasn't too sure because it's not, it just sounds 50, like it sounds, you know.
It's definitely in that that progression under the solo for sure.
All right, let's go back. Scott Monroe says, I know it goes without saying on this album in particular, but the ooh harmonies are lovely and once again provide a nice contrast to Dave's delivery. The harmonies elevated big time.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Yep. Indeed.
Always a fan.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. All right, let's get back to her.
About you cold when you wore it is for the skies. But you were young and bold and maybe didn't that change with a wink of your eye. Seems no one's talking about that.
We haven't really talked about the story Dave's telling, but I really kind of like this whole narrative of the little dreamer who kind of got picked on for dreaming big in the first verse. And then by the time you get to the second verse, you're kind of in present day. And he's kind of looking back he's really successful now looking back on those days gone past. It's kind of a cool little narrative that they're spinning here.
Like I said earlier, because I think of this as the point of view of his band right here. That's what like when they started out as like a, you know, as a cover, as a bar band doing cover songs. And then they finally got that major label with Ted Templeman and Warner Brothers and Mo Austin. Look where they're at now. This is what that point of view, I think.
It's a good interpretation.
If you read go ahead, Kevin. Yeah. If you read the book, what's it called? The Van Halen book, Van Halen Rising.
Van Halen Rising.
I mean, before the label, they were working with was the Kiss bassist
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, he did not like Dave, and before that, a lot of people doubted Dave because he just wasn't matured yet as a singer. But I mean, so he went through a lot of negatives, or a lot of hate, rather.
Hell, the brothers didn't like Dave. Remember, if you read that book. The only reason they asked him to be in the band was because he had a PA system. And they were sick of asking him to borrow it.
they turned him down two times.
Yeah.
And then the third time they said, okay. Yeah.
He's got a PA. It would be easier instead of bugging him all the time for it if he just let him in the band.
Well, it's cheaper, right? It was cheaper to just let him be in the band than to keep renting the PA from him. So.
And also back in the day, I mean, the kids nowadays would call it Riz. David had Riz back in the day. So apparently, supposedly, according to the book, he got all the girls and he was good for publicity for the band.
Yeah.
I had to ask my kids the other day what Riz was.
What is it?
Really?
It's like charisma.
Oh.
Riz. Oh, my God.
Oh, is that what that is?
Kids today are stupid.
Nah, who cares?
We're so out of touch and old.
My daughter's downstairs right now probably swearing because she could hear me on a... Just talking to myself, talking about Riz being stupid. So. All right, let's finish
off. What do you say we finish this up?
You betcha.
Love that.
There's famously the Van Halen sort of not the concert finish, not the arena finish. They are big fans of the fade out. This time though, we get a little Alex fade out, as it were, which is that's very different from what we're used to hearing from Van Halen. Even though they are a fan of the fade out, very interesting, cool little turn of the phrase there. But Little Dreamer has been often manifested, and now finally in the final six it comes around from Van Halen 1. So now the only thing left to do is to vote on it, see how we feel, see if it still fills us with wonder and hope like old Van Halen used to do. Connor Burton, we'll throw it to you. You joined us on the show just kind of not even last second, because technically we were still going, but you jumped on the call. Always a pleasure. So I have to ask you this. You're the one that manifested it, so I have a pretty good idea of where it's going to go, but you know the drill. Is Little Dreamer for you what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I'm joking. Just kidding. Thumbs up.
You can't do that to me. I got two buttons I can press. If I press the one button, I can't just press the other button. Fuck.
Makes for a good remix.
Yeah.
I mean,
tell us your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think on the fade out with the cymbal work, that was a really good taste. I love that. And then the pause in the music before Dave falls up with a Little Dreamer. That was pretty cool. The guitar work is great, and I think that the only critique I have is that he repeated the verse after the solo, and it just, that part seems repetitive, but overall, really good song. I would give this song 8 to 8.5 out of 10. Love it.
All right, there you go. All right, so Davey, I assume you're still back there, the phantom Davey Lee Smith. But if you are still with me, actually, you can drop it in the chat of Zoom if you want to, or you can just straight up say thumbs up or thumbs down. But I'll ask you: is Little Dreamer what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I think it sucks. Just kidding. This is awesome. Yeah, thank you, Corey. no, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, this is still Eddie Van Halen's Brown Sound, which I'm all in for. Very good story that Dave's telling with the lyrics about him and his band, for how far they've come during that time when they started out as a cover band in bars, and now they finally got that major label debut with Warner Brothers. Well, particularly Dave, when they voted you least likely to succeed in terms of Dave. But, you know, for me, nothing wrong with the song. For me, it's become a very, very one of my favorite deep cuts of Van Halen. And, you know, it may not rock quite as hard as some of the other songs on Van Halen 1, but hey, there's nothing wrong with that. And, in terms of the demo, the difference about that, in the demo is that at the end of the song, Dave does his best Jimi Hendrix impression saying, "Are you experienced?"
Right.
So, I mean, he's not Jimi Hendrix, but hey, this whole Van Halen 1 album is a complete experience. No doubt about it. So
No arguments here about Little Dreamer. No sirree, Bob.
Sirree, Bob. Well, it's pronounced Mark, but I'll take it. It's fine. Kevin Brown.
Mark Barker.
Yeah, there you go. Mark Barker. Kevin Brown returning to the show. Always a pleasure. You always have something good and insightful to say. Even if you hate the song, it's still good and insightful. So I'm curious on whether Little Dreamer got to you the same way. So are you, like the rest of them so far, agreed that Little Dreamer is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over, Little Dreamer?
As there's no third option. It's one of those sort of middle third Van Halen songs for me. I think on its own, it's a good song, but it's not like a massive blow your mind standout. I'm not going to say to someone, oh, you've never heard Van Halen, listen to Little Dreamer. You know, it's not one of those songs, but in the context of Van Halen 1, the album, it needs to be in there because it shows the full sort of suite of things that they were doing at the time, the types of stuff that Ed was into and then they were playing, and, you know, the vocal styles that Dave had at the time. So I think it's, you know, it's an essential part of the album. So it's, you know, it's still a champion. Look, it's for Van Halen 1. You're not going to downvote anything off this record, right?
I like that you called it a champion. Wrong show.
Oh, sorry, fuck, sorry. I was editing before I came on.
Sorry. Oh, I see. Okay.
We are the champion again. Now I throw it to you, Corey. Everyone else seems to think Little Dreamer is the little spark in which dreams are made of entirely. But you are a killer of fun.
That's right.
And a killer of joy.
Yep.
And I know everyone... because of you thinks that's me, but no, it's secretly you behind the scenes. I know 100%. This. You're a mad titan, you are. So the question is Little Dreamer for you what the dream is made of, or is the Little Dreamer does he need to wake up?
I'm never gonna downvote a great little blues groove. Like that's kind of my wheelhouse, and I love that. Although it's not my favorite track on Van Halen 1 by a long shot, I love that they just slip into this bluesy type groove and just kind of, you know, carry it. I love ZZ Top. To me, this is a lot like a ZZ Top song. You know, without the guitar pyrotechnics of Eddie Van Halen, you know, he's even just kind of, you know, subtle in there. Mikey's doing some cool shit on the bass. Anytime we get Ride Bell, I'm going to upvote it. I'm just going to tell you right now, it could be a fucking Nickelback song if he's playing the Ride Bell. It's getting a thumbs up for me.
Nickelback.
I just say that because Kevin's on the call and he hates Nickelback. But Little Dreamer is just a great little tune. And I love that it's, you know, it's not Eruption. It's not a talk about love. It's not On Fire. It shows a different side of this band, that this band can just slip into a bluesy groove and just ride it out for 3.5 minutes and make it cool as fuck. And this song is just cool as fuck. Dave sings it great. The lyrics are amazing. The band is on fire. You really can't go wrong, and this is definitely not a downvote for me. What dreams are made of, 100%. So that's four of us on the call. Mark and Meyer, is it going to be a straight for 5 for 5, or are you going to be the thief of joy this week and downvote this? Is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream tragically over?
Spoiler alert, because I've said it so many times, I'm not downvoting anything from Van Halen 1. It's not going to happen. It wasn't going to happen for Van Halen 2 either, and I warned you. I echo everyone's sentiments. You took it all the words out of my mouth, but it is absolutely not my personal favorite Van Halen song. I don't even think it's the fifth best song on this album. However, You have to understand, you know, Van Halen 1 being just chock full of banger after banger after banger, it's just like that's going to happen. If this one is the weakest link of the rest of it, so be it. That's a pretty strong link for it to be weak, I'll be honest, because there's no bad track on Van Halen 1. So I echo everyone's sentiments on this. It's absolutely it's a fun, cool little groove. And Van Halen is really good at doing that. Sometimes they can tone it back down from being like high speed, high octane rock, and then just sort of tone it down and give you something that you can kind of groove to and chillax a little bit, you know? So this is definitely one for that particular scrapbook. So Little Dreamer, we're all Little Dreamers. I'm a dreamer, you're a dreamer, we're all dreaming big.
Wouldn't you like to be a dreamer too?
I mean, the dream's not over yet because we're still going on. What you got, Kevin?
I was just thinking, like, where do you think this one's going to rank in the album rankings? I'm curious. If you're looking down the list of the 11 songs on this album, it's crazy that this could well finish bottom two.
It may be last, I'm thinking.
It's going to be in the second half for sure.
It's just crazy, hey? Because, you think about, this is like you said, it's a really good, low-slung, bluesy number. Oh, look at what it's up against, you know?
Well, and to that point, what's the audience ranking going to be on this one? I know they're very high on Dave era tracks and VH Van Halen 1 tracks. So Little Dreamer, I would have to think, would be like low 80s, like 82. Mark, what do you think?
You think that low, eh?
Yeah, I think so.
At the lowest, yes, I would say 81, 82. At the highest, it could probably, no, it'll probably stay in the 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm. Kev, you're really bad at this game. What do you think?
I'm fucking terrible again. No, I think this one's going to be high. It's off of Van Halen 1. It's a Roth song. I mean, I'd expect it to go over 85, to be honest. I'd be surprised if it doesn't.
All right. Connor, how about you?
I mean, I'm not trying to one-up Kevin, but I was thinking in my head 86, I promise. 86%.
I was kind of debating. 86 was my number for a while there, too. How about you, Davey? What are you thinking?
I'm probably just going to stick with the 80s. I think at least somewhere in the lower 80s, but at most, probably mid-80s, I think.
I don't think it goes over 88 at all. No. Like, not 88%.
Yeah, I'll just stick with mid-80s, yeah.
Jeff Brewer put it well in the chat. He says, I really never play this song. My least favorite song on the album, but no way it's getting downvoted. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, still a cool groove. And don't tell the little dreamer the dream is over, because that is not what they desire. Damn it. There it is.
That's right.
Speaking of Bob Barker,
I was waiting Mark's for it. I was giving Corey all the chances in the world to play it, and I didn't hear the music, so I was literally about to say, well, since I don't hear it, we're not doing it. But there it is. Corey,
I've always got it queued up, Mark. I'm going to spring it on you when you least expect it. But it's time to play. How many times have Van Halen performed Little Dreamer live? And because Mark likes to bitch and moan, let's start with you, Mark. How many times do you think Van Halen performed this song?
They probably performed it a lot in the old days, but I don't know. By a lot, I mean probably not that many. So I don't know. I'll be generous. I'll say they probably played this thing 150 times.
150, 150. Okay, David Lee Smith, let's go to you next.
Well, this is totally an album track, so they must have played this maybe prior to 78 and sometime a little after 78, so maybe not too much. So I think I'll probably go up a little bit over Mark, probably say 180.
180. All right, Connor Burton, let's go to you next.
I mean, there had to have been definitely way over 50 shows in, maybe not 50 shows, but in 1978, then they played it in the club days. I'm just going to give a random number, like 69.
69. All right. We can tell where your mind's at.
Of course. Yeah.
Kevin Brown.
Don't mind.
Let's go to you last. How many times do you, are you going to go 70 just to fuck up Connor? Are you going to go?
Oh, no.
180 something to screw up Davey? What are you thinking here, buddy?
It's hard to know with this one because I never know how many gigs they played earlier. I'm sure that this was pretty much a mainstay on that first tour in 78. I bet it got played a few times in 79, but as soon as they hit Mean Street and they got a bigger set, I think this is one of the first ones that gets dropped. So I think I'm going to go about, I'm going to say 110.
110.
A little bit lower.
All right. Well, we do have a winner. Bam. Kevin Brown is our winner tonight with 110 times. The correct answer, 134 times. Played 39 times in 1978. Also played 39 times in 2007.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about the
Okay. Too far off.
All right.
Last played at the Festival de Tête de Québec, 2008.
Great. You should try that again in a French accent, Corey.
I don't have a French accent, and Morissette is a French name, and I'm a French man all the way through, but I can't fucking speak French to save my life.
Neither can I, and I'm right there with you.
So Kevin Brown inexplicably wins a game. It's not on your show. That's why. If it's on your show, you're terrible. Yeah, but when you're a guest, you win all the time. So congratulations. Mark is going to send you a little something in the mail, I'm sure.
Ooh.
It's either a t-shirt or a Pocketful Rock beer yeah. mug or something. A nude, yeah.
Yeah, Mark has been sending nudes to people, so...
Yeah, it'll be a it'll be a picture of a middle finger because like you can't live in Canada. You're not allowed to live in Canada and not like Nickelback, Kevin. Get like ask Corey. It's
oh,
part
I fucking
of the dossier.
No, it's part of the dossier.
You like you have to when you get your citizenship approval. You have to name your favorite album by them.
It's either Nickelback or Anne Murray. Pick your poison.
Anne Murray all day every day.
Oh, did you hear that, Sean McGinnity? Kevin picks Anne Murray.
Oh, he said it. He said the thing. Oh, somewhere out there, there's a Chaz Mataz losing his mind.
I'm just going to dick punch instead. I much prefer that.
We have better bands in this country than Nickelback and Anne Murray. Come on.
It's true.
Rush Very came true. From here.
So. Rush.
The mighty Devin Townsend is a Canadian.
That's true.
Proud Canadian. That is one of the most, if not the most versatile vocalists in, I'll just say music. I won't even just say rock or metal or anything. That dude can just wail. So listen to more Devin Townsend, everybody. All right. I'm going to thank everyone who joined us on the panel. Connor Burton, Davey Lee Smith, Kevin Brown, friends of the show, patrons. You guys, if you've enjoyed the show that Corey and I have put together here and you've been with us on the journey and you're going, man, it would be really cool if I could actually get in on that panel. You know, you can do that. All you got to do is, what do you got to do? Yeah, that's right. You go to patreon.com/podcastwillrock. Join the Patreon. Find a tier that's right for you. It's not absurd. It's not like we don't go over the top with tiers. I promise we don't. We could, but... nobody would benefit from that. I don't think you guys would. I don't even know what an absurd Patreon tier would be for us. I don't know. We'll workshop it. If there is a tier that you think could work for you, then by all means do that. And if you don't, let us know. I'm sure we can work with you on something. But you're going to want to be part of the Patreon moving forward because we got a lot of stuff down the pipeline once we are done with this particular phase of the show. So... go on over to podcastwillrock.com. You find all the backlog episodes, all of our socials. We're on all the social media stuff. It's not run very well because I run it, but we're there and it happens. We also have a link to the merch store. Corey is about to go see Extreme live in the VIP. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to proudly wear his Apologies to Gary shirt. And finally, Gary will be made well aware of what is going down here at Podcastle Rock, if he doesn't know already. But do me a favor, head on over to our merch store and you too, get yourself an Apologies to Gary shirt and just let the army of you guys grow, all wearing the same shirts, just walking around, living your lives, and just the confused look on Gary Sharon's face would be just hysterical to me. But I would happily go like, look, here's the reason why it's funny. You know, that's our goal is just to have a chat with them. So do me a favor, do that. But also we have amazing other designs in our merch store as well, done by the aforementioned Kevin Brown. So thank you very much, Kevin, for your contributions, man. It's good stuff. And it's very entertaining inside jokes. If you listen to the show, then you'll know, and then you can introduce other people. So do that. And by the way, I don't say it enough, you guys, but definitely share the show. Just because we're nearing the end of this one phase doesn't mean that the whole show just goes away. Share it with your friends. Let them know if they are Van Halen fans of any sort. We might be their cup of tea. If they want to just kind of take on the journey as we did, a rediscovery, if you will. It's a lot of fun. Otherwise, we wouldn't have awesome people like Connor, like Kevin, like David joining us for these conversations. So we must be doing something right. Connor Burton, thank you so much for being on the show once again, my dude. It's good to see you. Let the people know where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Corey, Mark, and... you can find me at Connor@ConnorBurtonTraining.com and, you know, Connor Burton Training on Instagram. And a little quick story, a little kind of origin story with this podcast. I literally searched the Different Kind of Truth album on Spotify, and I was like, wait, where's the album? I can't even find it. And then I found one of the Different Kind of Truth songs on your freaking podcast on Spotify. And I was like, oh, this isn't the song, but this is a podcast I'm going to listen. And then that's kind of how I got hooked onto your podcast. So that's kind of the little story of how I found you guys' podcast almost 2 years ago.
Oh, you poor bastard. You poor bastard. I'm sorry.
I know, right?
A Different Kind of Truth, bringing people together. That's what we're here for. It's the only time it's ever done that.
And then my first time listening to Van Halen was watching Superbad and hearing Panama and the cop scene.
That's right. Yeah. Classic scene and great, perfect music choice for that moment. Good stuff. So, well, we're always happy to have you around, man. And we're so happy that despite the you not getting to hear A Different Kind of Truth streaming because it was removed, I'm glad that it still led you down the path to Podcast Will Rock. We'll be forever grateful. So, the ghost of Davey Lee Smith, you can't see him, but he's there. The voice is among us. Tell the people where they can find you, what you got going on, dude.
I'm a ghost. Woo!
This is way past Halloween, folks. But you can find me on Twitter. I'll go ahead and spell out my name. Davey Lee Smitty, capital DAVEY, capital LEE, capital SMITY. Or you can just look for me in the comments of End of Podcast or Rock Twitter or X, screw Moron Musk. Come on. It's still twitter.com, Elon. Come on. It's still Twitter. But it's Twitter on Davey Lee Smitty. But I just want to say thank you guys for letting me back on here, even though I wish I was on more of these shows, but you guys are hosting on my work nights, but luckily I'm on my week off. So that's why I'm here tonight. So, so it's unfortunate I wasn't able to come back on more recent shows because of me at work, but hey, once again, thank you for allowing me to be back on here. And it was a fun time as usual. And my parting words is that the Canadian rock musician I want to see is Mr. Pat Travers. So that's it.
There you go.
Just wanted to add
out there. Good stuff. But always happy to have you. And despite his hatred for his homeland of Canada, Kevin Brown, we appreciate you always being here. clearly, because you don't give Nickelback their props, then you must hate Canada. No more puppers for you. But where can the people find you, and where, what are you, all you got going on? You're a busy man these days, so let them all know.
Yeah, but you used to be the nice one. I used to come on the show where, like, Corey always gives me shit when I podcast with him.
This is what
nice
Corey's done to me.
This is what turned you into a monster.
I know,
always
a
my
monster.
Fault, I tell you. I am fucking pleasant, you assholes.
Yeah, you can come check out the Tom Petty Project. Like I said, I'm going into Wildflowers this season. Really looking forward to that. Seaside Pod Review. And then you can check out this other podcast, Ultimate Catalog Clash, that I do with, the non-music historian there right at the top of my screen, Mr. Corey Morissette. We have a lot of fun, and we are doing Foo Fighters this season. We're having a lot of fun with that, so come check us out.
It's a pretty good show. I haven't listened to it, but I hear good things.
It's got a good rep. It's got a good rep going around already, so good stuff. Tune into that. Corey Morissette, we've done another one, man. Now we are down to the last five.
Yeah, five to go.
It's been a journey, but we are not the only journey you can take. You know, we might be ending this iteration, but there are so many other podcasts that are doing things not exactly the same way we're doing them, but in their own way, and it's great stuff. And you can find it all on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. Corey, what kind of shows can they expect to hear on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network?
Oh, you get all sorts of great shows like the Ultimate Catalog Clash featuring myself and that British twat, Kevin Brown. We're talking Foo Fighters, like you mentioned earlier. Don't worry, you can just kind of skip whenever he talks and get to my insightful comments. But it's a pretty good show, I'm told. Like I said, I haven't listened to it, nor do I plan on it. You can also catch Kevin Brown at the Tom Petty Project. Wildflowers coming up this season, folks. This could be a great, great season. Like Kevin said, perfect album. You know, I kind of put Van Halen 1 maybe in that category too. So if you want to hear Kevin gush about Tom Petty, that is the place to do it. Then we have Kevin and Randy at Seaside Pod Review talking all things Queen. Scott Haskin, the sexiest man in podcasting, at Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. The Simple Man at Skinner Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts. Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madmen, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, Quitted and Volume for All, Sam, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Then we have the Chaztastic universe of shows, including Rush Rash with Shats, Regarding Roger Waters with Wolfie, and coming soon, Regarding Van Halen 3 with the one and only Scott Monroe. Then we have the Rewind to 1984 podcast, the Sean Geek and Fast Fred podcast. Mark and I were just on that show before the Four Unlawful show. We did a live stream talking about 5150 versus Eat 'Em and Smile. Go find that wherever you get your podcast from. Then, of course, we have the DLR cast, the Bogus Soda show, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, Spinning the Wheel podcast, Dissect That Film, Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast, the Nerf Herder Council, Talking Into Infinity, and the one and only Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. This week they had producer Tom Werman on, and they were actually talking about a song that he produced for a band called Mother's Finest. The track is Mickey's Monkey. You'll want to check that one out. It's a pretty cool tune and a pretty good show.
I would certainly hope it's a cool tune with that title. Otherwise, I'd have so many follow-up questions. But nevertheless, go check all of that out. Thank you, Corey, for reading that out. And as I said, once more, you guys, keep listening, keep following, keep sharing, and keep the conversations alive. Van Halen might be gone, but they ain't dead. We're keeping them alive right here. We're not experts. We're not rock historians. We are simple fans talking about a band that we all enjoy. That's what it's all about. That's what it will continue to be for as long as we do it. On behalf of Corey and everyone on the panel tonight, we are, and the podcast will rock. And we will rock you later.